Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. And I'll tell you the buzz around Washington they really don't want you to know right now. It's the secret deal made between the United States and Saudi Arabia and Great Britain, a deal which, in effect, traded terrorists for hostages. Now, you may have heard of the deal. We're going to talk about the details of the deal this hour and also about the wisdom of the plan. You know, Ronald Reagan was excoriated, and properly so, I think, for trading arms for hostages. We don't want to encourage hostage-taking by terrorists. And when they take hostages, we don't think that we should give anything for them. Now, maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that we should be trading to save innocent lives. And that's an argument you can make. My belief is that it's a very dangerous precedent. And what we've done, in effect, in Saudi Arabia, through a secret deal that just came out, is traded terrorists for hostages. I'm going to give you the details in just a minute. And coming up at the end of the hour, if you heard my show a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, entitled Spies at the FBI, where I had former FBI translator Sibel Edmonds, who discussed her attempt to tell the FBI about someone who tried to recruit her into an Al-Qaeda charity. Someone at the FBI, that it was so incompetent, things were so badly run there, she had to go to her higher-ups and tell them. What did they do? Did they respond? Did they seek out an investigation? Did they look for the terrorist? No, they fired her. She sued, and the outcome of the first round of this case has been released. I'm going to tell you about that at the end of the hour, and hopefully get Sibel Edmonds on my show next week. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But first, I want to talk about the secret terrorist hostage swap. I want to find out your thoughts on it. Should we ever be trading terrorists for hostages? And is this another example of George Bush being in the throes of a country that has given him and his family a lot of money, that has helped his Texas companies a lot? I'm talking, of course, about Saudi Arabia. So let's go through the facts first. We got to just give you the facts before we do any analysis. Sometimes I think I see too much analysis on programs without facts. Let's go right to the facts. The facts are there were 5 British citizens, 1 Canadian, and 1 other Westerner that were taken into custody by Saudi Arabia, ostensibly for terrorism. According to the 7 men, they, in fact, were tortured and were forced to confess to crimes they didn't commit. Now, I don't believe these men committed the crimes. Certainly, the British people don't believe it. I think that it's very likely the attacks were carried out by Al-Qaeda operatives. Indeed, that's what my sources tell me, those that have been studying the attacks in Saudi Arabia. And that's not surprising. You know, Osama bin Laden has been out opposed to the Saudi royal family long before even his opposition to us. In fact, you got to remember that Al-Qaeda's opposition to the United States largely comes from our support of Saudi Arabia. And that's an important point. It's not from our support of Israel. It's not from, our Western values, whether they be democracy or whether they be, you know, pornography in Times Square. That ain't the reason, folks. Osama bin Laden has made very clear that it was our support of the Saudi royal family that led to his terrorist attacks. Not that they're justified. Of course they're not justified. Al-Qaeda is an evil organization that killed 3,000 Americans and, in my view, should be wiped out. But it was precisely our support of Saudi Arabia and our troops in Saudi Arabia that first got under Osama bin Laden's skin and got him started with Al-Qaeda. Well, this great friend of ours, Saudi Arabia, it's also important to point out, is right now the country that is currently the worst toward women in the world. That's right. 4 years ago, the worst country in terms of its treatment of women was Afghanistan, was the Taliban, and Saudi Arabia was second. Well, today, it is Saudi Arabia that gives women the fewest freedoms of any country on earth. Our good pal Saudi Arabia, which, of course, has the world's largest oil reserves. George Bush doesn't make friends with countries unless they have large oil reserves, particularly, with all his talk about human rights and democracy, with those values, of course, he doesn't press on Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia, which is known for torturing and killing people, apparently tortured these 7 Westerners and got them to confess to doing attacks that Al-Qaeda had done. And I want you to think, and each time as I give facts, I'll be giving a little bit of analysis, I want you to think about the fact that the Saudis tortured these individuals and then got confessions. And compare that to us. Since we, of course, in Abu Ghraib and in Guantanamo are practicing various levels of torture and getting confessions out of the Iraqis and others that have been imprisoned. You know, if you torture someone to get a confession, do you have any real knowledge that that confession is true? I mean, don't you think people are going to say anything to get the pain to stop? I guess you could try to seek to confirm it. I think that that's important. But there's certainly no evidence that these Westerners had done anything wrong. The Saudis claimed that they were involved in a bootlegging business trying to sell illegal alcohol. I guess that's more likely than an Al-Qaeda attack. But in any case, they were being taken and captured without trial by a government that is not known for Western values. So we wanted to free them. And it's okay, in my mind, to seek freedom of hostages that are taken by countries like Saudi Arabia. The question is, what did we give for that? What was the quid pro quo? And we now know that there was a secret deal. We released 5 terrorists in Guantanamo Bay to Saudi Arabia. Now, you may say, well, wait, maybe they were innocent people. Well, let's talk about that. We know from the leakers, and I'm glad we have such leakers in America, we know that officials at the Pentagon, the CIA, the Defense Department, and the Justice Department all objected to these particular prisoners. In fact, the only prisoners that had been released prior to these Saudi prisoners were 35 very elderly Afghan detainees, all of which we concluded posed no threat. None have been transferred to a foreign government. None have been prosecuted. These are people we truly thought were innocent. Not these 5. These 5, according to the Pentagon, the CIA, the Defense Department, and the Justice Department, were not innocent. All of them posed a threat to America. It's amazing to me that the right wing in this country claims that we liberals, we who speak the truth, we who tell what's going on in the government, that somehow we are weak on terrorism. I, of course, argue just the opposite. It is the right wing, it is the Bush administration that is weak on terrorism. They're letting known terrorists go. And frankly, I've been shocked this story hasn't gotten bigger legs, and I hope that when you hear it, if you haven't heard it already, that you will pass it on. Interestingly, even Don Rumsfeld opposed the transfer of these terrorists to Saudi Arabia. Now, Don Rumsfeld and I don't agree on much. He and I, you know, we don't hang out much. We don't really, you know, pass the time and attend each other's parties. But we really don't agree on very much. But I got to say, he was right on this score. You don't give up terrorists to get hostages home. I think it's a bad idea, and I've condemned it every time I've seen it, whether it was Ronald Reagan giving arms for hostages in 1986. I also disagree with the Israeli prisoner transfers, where they trade known terrorists, known murderers, for innocent Israeli civilians. I think it's a bad precedent, and we've seen how those people released go ahead and commit more murders. So I'm definitely opposed to this policy, and so was Don Rumsfeld. But we know that he was overruled at the highest levels, according to sources, at the highest levels. Now, I want you to think about that. Who has the power to overrule Don Rumsfeld? I can only think of 2 people, and one of them is always out of the loop. Clearly, George W. Bush doesn't know what's going on in his administration. So that leaves one person. That leaves Vice President Dick Cheney, who, of course, has nice ties with Saudi Arabia. Halliburton certainly has an oil company, has some nice ties to Saudi Arabia. It looks to me, and this has not been reported, like it was Vice President Cheney that overruled Don Rumsfeld. And again, I say this merely by process of elimination. You know, part of getting the inside scoop is getting the sources, which I have a number of sources in government, in the Congress, and even some that work for some intelligence agencies. Who tell me information that's not classified. But sometimes the best way to figure out something is just to put on your thinking cap and use a little logic. Rumsfeld opposed it. It was approved at the highest levels. Only the president and vice president can overrule Don Rumsfeld. And we all know that George W. Bush really doesn't follow these things too closely. He's not exactly a hands-on kind of guy. I mean, if we want to discuss that, we can. It goes, every evidence indicates this, from Bob Woodward to Paul O'Neill to Richard Clark. Everyone makes clear that the details don't really matter too much to George W. Bush. So I blame the person in charge of our government, Vice President Dick Cheney. Let's go on, though. Let's talk about the specifics of what happened here. you have these five terrorists, two of whom had actually been in Al-Qaeda training camps. And the Saudis desperately wanted to show that they got something out of the war on terrorism. Now, again, if we could trust the Saudis to actually try these guys, you know, I, for one, for example, supported the release of British citizens held in Guantanamo Bay. I should note, of course, the irony here. We are not giving American citizens, Jose Padilla, Yasser Hamdi, American citizens held in Guantanamo. George Bush's view is they are enemy combatants. They not only are not going to have a trial, they can't even have access to lawyers, according to George W. Bush. This, of course, was recently overturned by the Supreme Court in an 8-1 decision. So they will get lawyers because, you know, the Constitution still has some power, some little bit of power in America. But we won't even give Americans a trial. And at the same time, we freed the Saudis. Later on, a few months later, we did free a Spaniard, a Dane, and five Britons. But I don't have a problem with that, because I think that the Spaniard, the Dane, and the five Britons who were released are more likely to receive justice in Spanish, Danish, and British courts than in our own courts. As we know, the Bush position in our courts is that they can't get justice at all. They can't get attorneys. They can't get trials. So it's one thing to free terrorists to democratic institutions, to democratic governments, to free courts. But I have a real problem transferring them to a court like Saudi Arabia. So let's see what Saudi Arabia did with the people. Well, according to Saudi officials, they're contradicting each other. First, the Saudis say that one or two of them were released. Okay? Then, a little bit later, the Saudis said, oh, no, none of them were freed. Well, you know, it either is or it isn't. Then they said that they'd been tried and convicted of trying to join the Taliban. And then they said the prosecutions were pending. Well, I think the answer is we can't trust what the Saudis say. I don't think that's a real surprise here. Of course, we can't trust them. And that's why we shouldn't send terrorists to a country that, after all, is the country that has more funded terrorism than any country on earth. Let's be clear about the Saudi role here. When you go and you fill up your gas tank with Saudi oil, your money goes to the Saudi royal family, which then spends the money to promote in their madrasas and their Islamic schools what's called Wahhabi Islam, to promote anti-Americanism, anti-Semitism, to promote hatred of our country. And that's where your money goes. And so I don't think it should be surprising by any stretch that these people, well, the Saudis don't really know where they are right now. Shouldn't be a surprise. I'm going to give out more facts in this case, but I want to open the phone lines and let you have a comment. I want to find out, you know, what your impression is of all this. Maybe we should do something to free hostages. Apparently these British citizens were innocent. What do you do to free hostages? I'll tell you what I don't think you do, and that is free terrorists. The number here is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Go ahead, call in if you just like numbers and you want to write this down. It's 877-577-2667. Or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. So I want to hear from you, and I want to get back to the facts of these cases, because you got to know the facts. You know, people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, it was to help an ally. Well, do you know what kind of ally Saudi Arabia is? Do you know that there were 28 pages of detailed Saudi links to Al-Qaeda? Do you know about this? Here, the administration is struggling to find a single link of any sort between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Cheney just lied yesterday. Again, Vice President Cheney lied, said there were connections. The 9/11 Commission said, all right, Vice President Cheney, show me your evidence. And Cheney said, well, you know, the things that I know that the 9/11 Commission doesn't know. So the 9/11 Commission said, put up or shut up. Cheney, turn over your evidence. And Cheney turned it over, and guess what? The 9/11 Commission said, oh, we already had this. And it again shows no collaborative relationship. They didn't work together. They, you know, there were a couple times they tried. There were a couple times when Osama bin Laden reached out and tried to get Iraqi support, but he just didn't get any. Saudi Arabia, however, Saudi Arabia is quite different. 28 pages of, and this is secret, this has not been disclosed, this is classified information, 28 pages of classified information of Saudi support for al-Qaeda. So why is it that George W. Bush, who won't give freedoms, just freedoms of due process, a lawyer, a trial, to American citizens, is now giving Saudi citizens an advantage, particularly Saudi citizens that we have evidence are terrorists, that attended the al-Qaeda camps? We free the Saudis, the Americans stay in prison. What is it with this administration, and why hasn't the issue gotten more press? When we come back, I'm going to give you more facts of this astonishing transfer. And again, I want to hear from you, 877-57-SCOOP. Should we ever trade terrorists for hostages? More of The Scoop right after this.
Does George W. get up every morning and gargle with a big glass of political cynicism? Or is he genetically cynical and just can't help himself? Take his recent radio address on Memorial Day weekend. Bush wrapped himself as tightly as possible in the flag and blathered on at length about how much he loves those veterans who have gone to war and fought for our freedom. A noble stand that he personally avoided taking when his time came, using family connections to keep him safely out of harm's way. But that's another story. In his address, George told the nation that we can acknowledge the debt we owe these veterans by, quote, showing our respect and gratitude. I don't know if he gargled before delivering this radio sermon, but I do know that just hours before it, Bush's budget office announced that it would cut $1 billion out of existing veterans' health care programs next year if Bush gets elected this fall. There's gratitude for you. These programs have already been so shortchanged by Bush that his own Secretary of Veterans Affairs has criticized their inadequacy. At present, nearly 350,000 injured and ill vets are having to wait in line to get admitted for health care because the VA system is so backed up. The average wait is more than 6 months. Yet rather than cutting the backlog, as Bush promised to do when he took office, he now proposes to cut 540 VA staffers who review disability claims to speed up the line and help veterans get the care they need. This $1 billion cut comes on top of Bush's ongoing attempt to close veterans' hospitals all across the country, his $50 million cut in medical research on new prosthetic technologies for dismembered vets, and his cutting off of 164,000 veterans from their existing prescription drug coverage. This is Jim Hightower saying, veterans could use a little less rhetorical respect from the president and a whole lot more tangible support.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little by joining Sam's Club. Sam Walton created Sam's Club to give small business owners the purchasing power of big businesses. So no matter what kind of business you own, when you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on products you need every day. And you can rely on us to carry those products at low warehouse prices. To save you time, we offer click and pull and fax and pull, convenient services to help you order ahead for fast pickup. Place your order at samsclub.com or by fax before 5 p.m. and at no extra charge, it's ready to pick up the next morning. Now that's teamwork, and we'd like to be a small part of your team. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Join the club, Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. We're discussing the secret deal between the Bush administration, the Saudis, and the British to exchange known terrorists, people who had al-Qaeda connections. All of them had been uncooperative, or at least we know that four of the five had been uncooperative with investigators, all right, interrogators. They're not talking. They have clear al-Qaeda connections, and we're letting them go. Now, what does our government have to say about it? Well, You can listen to the spokesman for the National Security Council. He denies there was any linkage whatsoever. He said this was part of the normal policy of transferring detainees from Guantanamo for prosecution or continued detention. But American officials involved in the case, let me read to you a number of what they said. They said it was highly unusual. They said it made them uncomfortable. They said these people posed a threat. These are all direct quotes from them to the Washington Post. They said the people did not want to do it at all. Okay? They said, in fact, that the backgrounds of these detainees were greater and worse than, you know, that the elderly Afghans that were let go that no one thought had any involvement. It didn't seem right, quote unquote, said one military official who was involved in the process, quote, the green light had not appeared on these guys in the ways that it had on others who were released. It was clear that there was a quid pro quo to the deal that we were not aware of, unquote. Another Defense Department official said, quote, why are we doing this for these guys when we haven't done this for other better allies? As the official said, quote, we were just told to do it. As I said, Rumsfeld was against it. Now, I don't often agree with Rumsfeld, but I agree with him here. He was against it, but overruled at the highest levels. As another senior foreign policy official said, it was the departure from the usual that made these officials so uncomfortable. So I want to know from you, what do you think? Should we ever trade terrorists for hostages? And if this deal is such a good idea, why is the Bush administration trying to hide it? Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine on the Inside Scoop. What's your first name and where are you from?
It's Robert from Tennessee.
Hey, Robert from Tennessee. Well, are you a first-time caller?
No, I called once before.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a second-time caller. What's your impression of this deal?
Well, trading hostages for terrorists, obviously not a good idea. But maybe you can help me clear up something. Al-Qaeda hates the Saudi royal family, right?
Yes, Al-Qaeda does not like the Saudi royal family. That's true.
All right, so if we turn Al-Qaeda operatives over to the royal family, I don't think they're going to be treated all that nice.
I wish you were right, Robert. I wish you were. But Saudi Arabia has made an interesting deal with these radical Islamic terrorists that goes back decades, really, ever since they came into power. The Saudi royal family's position is that if we pay off these terrorists, if we give them funding for their Islamic schools where they teach hatred, if we give them funding they can use for their training camps, then they won't bother us. And that has been the Saudi position really from the beginning. I think it's a counterproductive position, but the idea is if we pay them off, the Saudis say, they will go after others. They'll go after America, they'll go after Israel, they'll go after other Western countries, and they won't come against us. And so you see this pattern, and again, I agree it's counterproductive, but you see this pattern of the Saudis giving billions and billions of dollars to these front charities that are then used to funnel not just to Al-Qaeda, but to a whole host of terrorist groups. And if you look recently, even when Al-Qaeda attacks Saudi Arabia, as they did just recently, Saudi Arabia, how did they respond? You remember? They said, we're going to give amnesty for 1 month to the terrorists in the hopes that they'll turn themselves in. This is a country that regularly gives in to terrorism, is not at all hard on them, and they think that if they give enough, these terrorists will stop attacking Saudi Arabia. And frankly, my impression of Al-Qaeda is that they were most angry with the Saudi royal family when they had American troops on their soil. And now that we don't have troops on their soil, maybe if the Saudis pay them off, they'll go away. I don't think so, but I do think that's what the royal family thinks.
Okay, so do you think how do you think the royal family came to that viewpoint? You think it's like cultural differences or?
Well, it actually goes back a long time. The Saudi royal family, way back in the 30s, actually, when Saudi Arabia became a country and they overthrew, there was a British installed king. The British installed kings way back, in Iraq and in Saudi Arabia. The French actually installed their king in Syria. This was all when they took the countries after World War I, after they took it from Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, which controlled them all. And they all had their kings, and the Saudi royal family, overthrew the British king in a coup, which, you know, I don't know that I can blame them. I don't know that the British king was any more democratic than the Saudi royal family. I think they were both dictators. But in any case, they overthrew them, and in order to get support from the Arab world, the Saudi royal family styled itself as the protector of the holy places, which, after all, are located in Saudi Arabia. So they are the protectors of Mecca and Medina, these really holiest places for Islam. And to do so, they started giving a lot of money to imams, to religious leaders. But unfortunately, these weren't, these were the radical religious leaders, because Saudis always understood that their power, if you will, was contingent on people accepting them, right? Accepting the royal family, and they would be seen as illegitimate. And so anytime you had a radical organization that preached radical Islam, they were basically bought out. It's kind of like you buy protection money for the mafia, you know?
Okay.
The mafia won't bother you if you buy protection money. Well, this has been the Saudis' point of view for decades. This is nothing new here. They've constantly bought off the terrorists. And in fact, there really weren't many attacks in Saudi Arabia until, till we had troops there, until Al-Qaeda, because most of these terrorist groups did decide to take their attacks elsewhere. So I think this has been their role. I think it's a bad one. And I would think, actually, that if we push Saudi Arabia hard, we could help them to change this. But as you know, the Bush administration, as has been pointed out, they defer to the Saudis before they even defer to our allies, our democratic allies.
So Al-Qaeda basically feels like the Saudis betrayed them and sold out.
When they let American troops in. What I don't know is, now that American troops are out of Saudi Arabia, what I don't know is whether, you know, Osama bin Laden still has the same feeling. I'm sure he's no fan of the Saudi royal family. And in fact, I do think the recent attacks are Al-Qaeda. But I'm not clear. I mean, you know, Osama doesn't talk to me very often. I'm not clear on whether this was sort of his organization or some splinter group in Al-Qaeda. But I do know that that's the Saudis' position. And I'm hoping that they'll change their position, that they'll actually start to see that it's counterproductive, you know, to pay the mafia protection money, if you will. But I think but listen, this is nothing new to our State Department or our Defense Department. We've known about the Saudis funding terrorists for decades. I mean, there's nothing new here. And
so
it's
not like the Saudis are maliciously funding the terrorists in order to... They're trying to buy them off. So
yeah.
They're trying to fix the problem.
Right. No, I think that's right. I think it's the difference between someone who helps the mafia out of fear versus that someone helps the mafia out of hate. I don't think the Saudis are like Osama bin Laden. I mean, as bad as they are, I will make a distinction. Osama bin Laden, you know, is out to get us. I mean,
so they're promoting evil through the lack of a spine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly right. They're promoting evil through the lack of a spine. And I think they're doing like most dictators do. They'll do anything to stay in power. Interestingly, I think Saddam Hussein was much more on the order of the Saudis than Osama bin Laden. I think Saddam Hussein also did a lot of evil, no question about it, but largely to keep himself in power. It wasn't that Saddam Hussein liked killing people, I don't think. When he attacked Iran, he did it to get more power. When he attacked Kuwait, he did it to get oil fields, and he did it, you know, both of them originally with our blessing, including when he gassed the Kurds. Now, that doesn't mean he's a good guy. He's an awful guy. But the point is he was more into protecting himself. Saddam Hussein is not some Islamic fundamentalist. He didn't care about Islam. Frankly, the Saudi Arabian royal family, not too religious either. I mean, they may be keeping Mecca and Medina, but the Saudis are all over Europe gambling and drinking and using prostitutes. That's well known. These are not, I mean, Osama bin Laden, I don't know if I want to call it credit, but he's a guy who strongly believes in Islamic principles, including some really disgusting ones that, you know, that want to kill everybody. He at least believes his radical Islam. But I think the Saudis are often seen as hypocrites because they, in secret, in quiet, they have these Western values, but then they promote this religious stuff. So I actually think the Saudis want to stay in power, and they think that buying off terrorists is the best way to stay in power. And that's why they're dangerous, not quite as dangerous as Osama bin Laden, but dangerous nonetheless. And that's why I really reject the idea that we should trade terrorists for hostages. But thanks very much for your call, Robert. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you much. Yep.
Well, that was a good discussion, Robert. I really, you know, brought up some good points. And it's important to understand the subtleties here. Because it's not just a question of, oh, well, Osama bin Laden doesn't like Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden didn't like Saddam Hussein either. Didn't like Saddam Hussein at all. But that doesn't mean they were working together. In this case, they are. There is no question that billions of dollars have been funneled from Saudi charities, not just to Al-Qaeda. I mean, let me be clear. They aid a number of terrorist groups. They aid Hezbollah. They aid Palestinian terrorist groups. They do, in fact, they aid much more terrorism than Saddam Hussein ever did. And again, That's all been documented in a document that they will not release. 28 pages of a national intelligence estimate that are classified that Senator Bob Graham of Florida says should be released. He says 95% of it could be released. All you have to do is black out the names of intelligence sources. People should know what Saudi Arabia is about. But George Bush has always had special ties to Saudi Arabia. And I want to talk a little bit more about those special ties when we come back and also hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And when we come back, I want to talk about a little more about the Bush ties to Saudi Arabia. You saw some of them in Michael Moore's movie. And why I think Bush gives Saudi Arabia a pass. Well, he doesn't give the same pass to other countries. And then don't miss the end of the broadcast, because I'm going to give you the update on Sybil Edmonds' case, the translator who found spies at the FBI, who Ashcroft is trying to silence. You won't want to miss it when we come back. Again, if you want to call, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be right back after this.
To WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
In a letter released by the U.S. government yesterday, officials admitted awarding an Iraq military contract to a subsidiary of a company under criminal indictment for its role in the California energy crisis. Reliant Energy Solutions East was given $35.9 million to supply U.S. military bases in Iraq with electricity. But Reliant Energy Services, the indicted company, and Reliant Energy Solutions East are both owned by the same parent company and share top officers. The government justified the award, claiming the two subsidiaries are geographically separate entities. Tyson Slocum, a public citizen, outlines Reliant's criminal activities.
It intentionally shut down four of its power plants in California, which directly led to the blackout.
Reliant Energy has close political connections to the White House, with three current and former top executives contributing more than $100,000 to the Bush reelection campaign. The company and its political action committee has contributed over $500,000 to the Republican National Committee since 2000. Public Citizen is calling on the Defense Department to suspend or revoke Reliant's contract, as both Enron and Arthur Anderson were barred from federal contracts when they were indicted.
Attempting to cut $40 million off of their budget, the Oregon Department of Human Services has begun cutting Oregonians living in poverty off of the state's standard health plan. If in the coming weeks enrollment in the plan doesn't shrink on its own, the department said it will begin removing people whose income is less than 50% of the federal poverty level. The plan must drop from its current 53,000 members to 25,000 by next June. And if the federal government blocks a proposed tax on hospitals, the rolls will have to be decreased by an additional 10,000. The standard version of the health plan was initially set up to cover working families who did not meet the requirements for traditional Medicaid coverage. However, a federal law requires the state to continue serving the 300,000 Medicaid-eligible people in the Health Plan Plus version. According to a report from the national nonprofit organization Families USA, more than 968,000 Oregonians have been uninsured over the past 2 years.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
The latest figures from the Federal Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation say the number of underfunded pension plans dropped last year by 9%. About 1,050 pensions are collectively short some $279 billion, yet the report doesn't paint a complete picture. It only covers pension funds, which are $50 million or more in the red, and conveniently overlooks the massive underfunding that's taken place since 1999.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. We're discussing the secret deal where the Bush administration traded terrorists, known terrorists in Guantanamo Bay, to Saudi Arabia to free up some British hostages. And we're talking about the wisdom of this. And I've been struck by how few calls and comments I've gotten from my friendly conservative listeners that often listen in. Ben, Jeremy, where are you? Ed from New Jersey? No one seems to want to defend this, and I don't blame them. I think it's pretty indefensible. And I think the Democrats need to understand that one of the best ways to attack the Bush administration is not only on their denial of basic rights and freedoms, not only on their abuse of the Constitution, allowing things like torture that's expressly prohibited by the Constitution, not only by denying due process to people who are imprisoned, these unconstitutional acts, but also by noting where the Bush administration has been too lax, been too weak. It's one thing to say we shouldn't torture people. It's quite another to say we should just free known terrorists to a place that won't keep track of them. I've told you, the Saudis say, well, we released them. Oh, no, we didn't release them. Oh, we're putting them on trial. No, they were convicted. No, the trial is still pending. Actually, there was no deal at all. They seem to give all kinds of different views. Well, hello, where are they? Where are they? If the idea was to turn them over for prosecution, shouldn't we be clear that they're going to be prosecuted? I mean, we wouldn't do that in Iraq. So what is it about Saudi Arabia that's so special? And what is it about this deal that leads people not to want to comment on it? The British said no comment. You got to give the British credit, all right? At least they didn't lie to us. The British didn't say this deal did not happen like our officials did. A spokesman for Prime Minister Blair said, quote, we declined to comment. All right? So they at least, again, I got to give Blair credit. He didn't lie. He just declined to comment. While our administration says there was no deal whatsoever. But what's interesting is that the people who were there, the American negotiators who were directly doing this transfer, said that they were instructed by the State Department to avoid explicitly stating the quid pro quo in their final talks. So in other words, there was, of course, a quid pro quo, but, quote, we did not want to make it a clear quid pro quo swap, so we put a distance between them, unquote. In other words, they let some prisoners go, and then they waited for the others to go. They explicitly did a cover-up. They explicitly decided, we weren't going to tell you it's a quid pro quo. As the officials said, quote, everyone knew what the environment was, but diplomatically, this was not a swap, unquote. So what do we get for this deal? We released known terrorists, okay, people who are in Al-Qaeda prison camps. The Saudis don't know what they've done with them. Oops, you know, you can lose people. What do we get for it? Well, the Defense Department officials tried to make a deal. In fact, they asked the Saudis to sign a promise, to sign on the dotted line that they would return the five prisoners if the United States ever requested it. So if we find out that they're more than just Al-Qaeda operatives, but they've actually, you know, blown up something or killed some Americans, we want the right to get them back. The Saudis refused that deal, and the request was dropped. So why is it that we give all these special benefits to Saudi Arabia that we don't give to Great Britain? Right? I mean, a democratic ally, right? We freed the Saudi prisoners long before the British prisoners. We don't even give these rights to Americans. Remember what's going on here. We've got two American citizens in prison, held without charges, indefinitely. They get a life sentence, no lawyers. Well, okay, a life sentence. They're held until the war on terrorism is over. Doesn't that sound like a life sentence to you? They're held indefinitely, without lawyers, without due process, without even being charged with anything. That's what we do to Americans, all right? What do we do to Saudis? We get them a get-out-of-jail-free card. So what is it about George Bush that causes him to give a get-out-of-jail-free card to Saudis but not give even due process to Americans? Or as Gordon from Smith puts it, and he sent a comment, and you are free to comment. Please do. I'm looking for comments from anyone. Do you support this? Do you not? To send a comment, just type in on your computer comment at radioinsidescoop.com. And, of course, the phone lines are open to call 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Or if you just like numbers, 877-577-2667. Call in. 877-57-SCOOP. As Gordon from Michigan points out in his list, this is a definition of treason. By aiding and abetting terrorists, per Bush's own Humpty Dumpty doctrine. According to Gordon, if it can be shown that Cheney pulled such deals, when is it time to cook him for it? How about before the election in November? Well, you see, Gordon, the Bush doctrine only applies to non-Bushies. Okay? See, if a non-Bushy, a non-Bush representative, someone who's not in the American government, aids the terrorists, and, you know, we don't like them, then, of course, we punish them. We punish them severely. In fact, even if they don't aid the terrorists, look at Saddam Hussein, even if you don't aid terrorists, but we can claim you aided terrorists, we're going to punish you severely. But Cheney? Oh, Cheney won't get punished at all. Bush needs Cheney. Who else is going to tell him what to do? Who else is going to let him know, you know, how to run the country? And don't expect the Republican Congress to do anything about it. To do impeachment, you need the House of Representatives to have a vote. But the way the House of Representatives works is unless the Republicans decide to allow a vote, there's no vote at all. And who is the leader of the Republicans? Not the Speaker of the House. No. Dennis Hastert's not the leader of the Republicans. The leader of the Republicans is Tom DeLay, the majority leader. He's the real head. Hastert may be the titular leader. He's the guy that controls what's going on. And actually, this gives me a nice segue to mention that my show tomorrow is going to be Congressman Chris Bell of Texas, Democratic legislature, who has bringing charges, ethics charges, against Tom DeLay for things like bribery and money laundering and illegal use of federal funds, illegal use of the Homeland Security planes to track down the Texas Democrats. You won't want to miss that show tomorrow. But my point to you, Gordon, is that only the Republicans can decide whether to bring impeachment. Clearly nothing will be brought here. And look at all the holes in the Bush Doctrine. I mean, if you're a conservative, you should be angry at this. Because the Bush Doctrine, is, as I understand how it's supposed to be, the Bush Doctrine is supposed to say you're either with us or against us. You're with the terrorists or you're against us. If you're with the terrorists, you are our enemy and we're going to fight you. The only problem with the Bush Doctrine, as Daily Show Jon Stewart pointed out, is that it's got a little asterisk on it. Bush Doctrine not valid in Saudi Arabia, Syria, Yemen, or Pakistan, or Egypt. If you aid terrorists and you're a friend of Bush and you give lots of money to the Bush campaign or you have oil, well, the Bush Doctrine just doesn't apply. You see, Gordon, you can't apply the Bush Doctrine across the board because that would be rational and that wouldn't help Texas oil companies at all. So the Bush Doctrine does not apply to Saudi Arabia. I started to say explicitly. I guess it's implicitly. The Bush Doctrine just doesn't apply to Saudi Arabia. And I would think if you are a conservative, if you are a right-wing conservative and you support the Bush Doctrine, you'd be opposed at Bush trading terrorists for hostages. Remember, Ronald Reagan had this strong doctrine too, right? He had this strong doctrine, he was supposed to be a strong leader, don't aid terrorists. And he traded arms for terrorists. Looks to me like George Bush is doing the same. Let me go to the phones. If you want to call in, it's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. What's your first name? Where are you from?
Hey, it's Brian from New Jersey, Mark.
Hey, Brian from New Jersey. Glad to have you call in. What did you think of this story?
I'm a little concerned. I don't know how many of your listeners or if you have seen Fahrenheit 9/11.
I have. Why don't you tell our listeners what you saw?
Well, Prince Bandar seems to be pretty good buddies with Mr. Bush.
Yep.
And when 15 out of the 19 hijackers come from Saudi Arabia, yet we choose to attack Iraq,
yep.
I'm a little concerned about that as well.
Well, let's talk about Prince Bandar. Prince Bandar, of course, is the ambassador from Saudi Arabia to the United States. He's been ambassador for at least 10 years, maybe longer. And he has very, very close ties with the Bush family. Indeed, it's been reported in Bob Woodward's book, I believe, the book that George Bush praises is absolutely accurate, that Bandar is going to lower oil prices just before the election to help out his friend George Bush. Bandar himself, by the way, didn't deny it on Larry King. He's like, if Bob Woodward says it, I guess it's true. So, yes, clearly they are buddy-buddy. And clearly, as you point out, 15 of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. So why do you think, and again, you've seen Michael Moore's movie, feel free to cite whatever facts you like, why do you think Saudi Arabia is so buddy-buddy, or I should say George Bush is so friendly to Saudi Arabia?
Well, it definitely has to do with the oil connection, obviously. As Cheney pointed out, it's the second biggest reserve in in the world.
Actually, Saudis are first. Iraq is second.
Oh, Saudi is the first. Wow.
That's correct. So if you notice, when the Saudis support Bush, we like them. And when Iraq doesn't, well, we invade to take their oil fields.
Right. I think the other thing that amazed me about Moore's movie is that the two biggest owners of the Carlyle Group seem to be Bush and Bin Laden family.
That is all true. And in fact, they had, you know, when I first brought this out, I got to give my show a little bit of a plug here. I had Craig Unger, author of House of Bush, House of Saud, on my show months ago. And in fact, that's one of those shows I've saved in my archives. I have to get things out of my archives from time to time because they only hold so much. And as I'm putting new shows in, by the way, let me just give a plug to WhiteRoseSociety.org. They have all my archives since March. But actually, I had Craig Unger on before March talking about this, the same Craig Unger that was on Michael Moore's movie, who has documented the $1.4 billion that went from Saudi Arabia to various Bush companies. And it's all there. You can listen to my show. Salon's talked about it. But really, until Fahrenheit 9/11, not too many people knew about it or about just the millions of dollars they've given to Bush charities. You know, it seems to me that when China had been found to give a donation of a few hundred thousand dollars to the Clinton campaign, and you can argue over whether Clinton knew it was from China or not. Clinton says he didn't know. Some people say he did know. Whatever it is, $1.4 billion dwarfs a few hundred thousand dollars. That's nothing. And yet this, I don't think, has gotten near the media attention that the Chinese donation got.
Well, that's the problem. I don't understand how we let 10 major corporations control our entire media, and we just kind of sit back and watch as their employees shout how liberal that they believe it to be, when in fact it's not even close to liberal. A.J. Liebling has a wonderful quote. It's freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own one.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Well, that's why I can speak, because this is my own press here. This is my own show. No one controls the content but me. That's actually why I'm on the air, is to give, you know, the inside scoop, to give an alternative view.
But unfortunately, Mark, and I mean fortunately and or unfortunately, you're on radio power. That's how I'm listening to you. And I'm not sure. I guess you're on a D.C. station as well.
Right, right.
But in my opinion, you and Tom Hartman and Jim Hightower and or any of these other quote-unquote liberal talk show hosts should be across the country on TV stations and other radio stations, so we're not subjected to this right-wing bash of the quote-unquote, again, liberal media as they believe it to be, whereas it's not anywhere close.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. I got to tell you, I am trying. In fact, I'm now once a month on Air America, the Al Franken station. I'm the last Sunday of every month at 9 p.m. I'm on a Talkers Roundtable there. And I am looking to expand in a few radio markets, not in New Jersey, unfortunately, yet. But you, Brian, and other listeners, if you want to hear my show on your local station, call up your local station, browbeat them. Some of them are controlled by Clear Channel and are right-wing and have no hope. But there are others that just want good radio. And encourage them to check out my show. They can go to my internet site, www.radioinsidescoop.com. Check me out. I'll send them a demo. I'm also, you should know, working to get on as a commentator on various TV programs. So I'm trying, Brian, and you and other listeners can help me out by helping spread the word about my show.
I'll do my best.
Thanks for calling in, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Have a good one.
We got to go to commercial break, but when we come back, I want to finish this discussion about some of the ties between Bush and Saudi Arabia, and then, just before the show closes, I gotta update you on what's going on with Sybelle Edmonds, the FBI translator who found spies at the FBI, tried to tell her superiors about it, and was fired. You won't want to miss that update coming just after the break. If you want to call in, though, feel free, 877-57-SCOOP, or send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be back.
It's time for another Gooberhead Award, issued periodically to people in the news who have their tongues going 100 miles per hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's Goober goes to an organization that marches under the majestic banner of Move America Forward. MAF would have you believe that it's a nonpartisan mass movement of patriots supporting our troops and the commander-in-chief in the war on terrorism. But the majesty of this outfit shrinks to minuscule when you peek behind MAF's red, white, and blue curtain and see that it's nothing but three pathetic right-wingers with a Mr. Microphone. Move America Forward is a front group set up only last month by the Republican PR firm of Russo, Marsh, and Rogers, which pocketed some $2.5 million in payments from Republican politicians in the last election cycle. Far from being patriots, these hired flacks set up MAF to engage in a decidedly unpatriotic act of selectively canceling the First Amendment. What has their knickers in a knot is that Michael Moore's dynamite new movie, Fahrenheit 911, is being shown in theaters all across America. Apparently, Russo, Marsh, and Rogers don't believe in the principles of free speech and open debate, at least not if these principles allow open criticism of their beloved King George W. So these gooberheads launched MAF to trash Moore and try to prevent theaters from presenting his movie. On their website, they publish the addresses of major theater chains, asking rabid Bush supporters to deluge the chains with demands to shut out Moore. Tell the industry executives that we don't want this misleading and grotesque movie being shown in our local cinema, shriek the PR hacks. This is Jim Hightower saying, whether or not you like Moore, no true American can like this goofy, totally un-American stab at censorship. The best way to show up these goobers is to go see the movie and judge it for yourself. That's the American way.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You know, out here in West Texas, it gets really hot. And it's a tough, dry heat.
Glenn Austell of Lubbock, Texas, talks about Gold Bond medicated powder.
When I'm working outside, my skin gets itchy and irritated. I guess you call it a heat rash or something like that. But Gold Bond relieves the itch and irritation and gives me a cool, refreshing sensation. I'm telling you, once you've tried Gold Bond, you can't live without it.
Gold Bond medicated powder cools and soothes heat rash and irritated skin. Use it directed.
I mean, who wouldn't want to feel cool and refreshed?
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Insights. We've got a few minutes left. We're discussing the secret deal between the Saudis and the Brits and the Americans where we released known terrorists, known Al-Qaeda operatives to the Saudis who apparently have lost them, can't find them, in order to release some Westerners that the Saudis had imprisoned. And we talked about the connection between Bush and Saudi Arabia. And frankly, I think that best connection is best shown in the movie Fahrenheit 9/11, Michael Moore's movie. You really need to see that movie. And what's interesting to me is that when I hear people criticize the movie, again, virtually none of them have seen it. People who are criticizing it, virtually none of them have seen it. And those that have seen it can't criticize the Bush-Saudi relationship. Oh, I've heard criticism. Well, you know, Moore said that only one member of Congress had an enlisted man son in the military, and they didn't mention the guy that had a nephew. All right. Okay. Maybe that's a just criticism. They didn't mention the nephew. I think Moore was proper to point out, you know, to restrict it to sons and daughters. I mean, all of us have cousins in the military. So, okay, he included sons. He didn't include nephews. Maybe that's a fair critique. Maybe not. At least it's a truthful critique. But no one is talking about the connections between Bush and Saudi Arabia and complaining about them. And as I mentioned, no one is challenging the facts. I had Craig Unger on my show months ago giving these facts, talking, in fact, about something that Michael Moore did not include, to my surprise, talking about Prince Ahmed, who is betting on horses in Lexington, Kentucky, freed by George Bush in the days after 9/11 on all those planes that included the bin Laden members. And this is a guy who was fingered by Zubaydah, an Al-Qaeda operative, as knowing all about 9/11. It's a very interesting story. And again, I urge you to use my website, use the archives, www.radioinsidescoop.com. That's an archive that will always be there. I will not remove it. And check out the story on the House of Bush, House of Saud. So these connections are there. We know Paul O'Neill said early on in the 10 days after the Bush administration came to power that he was dividing up Iraqi oil fields. So we know about the connection, and we know the reason. Saudi Arabia has the largest supply of oil. Iraq has second. And if you get oil, then that enriches oil companies. And we all know that helps Bush friends and family. Now, as Fred points out in a comment to me, he says, detractors of Fahrenheit 9/11 claim that all the conspiracy theories involving Bush and the Saudis are unfounded. Perhaps as a full-blown conspiracy, there's no concrete proof. But there's obviously a shady relationship, as this latest deal proves. Why isn't the mainstream media asking questions about the relationship? Why can't we get this out in the open? Well, Fred, I think that's partly what Michael Moore's trying to do. He's trying to get it out in the open. And again, I agree with you, Fred. We shouldn't overstate the case. Okay? We don't need to say, as some conservative who wrote in said to me, oh, well, George Bush is in the Saudis' pocket. Yeah, right. I didn't say he's in the Saudis' pocket. I just simply said the facts. Let others draw the conclusion. The facts are that Saudi Arabia has given Bush and Bush family members and Bush companies like the Carlyle Group $1.477 billion. That he's given just the Bush family millions of dollars. That's true. No one disputes that. And the fact is that Bush gives special benefits to Saudi Arabians that he doesn't even give to American citizens, like releasing these terrorists. So you don't have to say the Saudis own Bush. You don't have to say that at all. Let others say that. Just tell your conservative friends, one, Saudis give Bush hundreds of millions of dollars, indeed $1.4 billion if you include the Carlyle Group, and two, Bush gives Saudis things that no other country gets. That's all we have to say. We don't have to argue there's a conspiracy. Let others draw the conclusions. Just the facts here, folks. Just the facts. I did get a email on my blog, and in fact, I'm getting lots of comments now. Folks, you got to give comments earlier so I have time to read them on air. This person points out that when I condemned this mixture of Islam and dictatorship, he points out that certainly ancient Jewish kingdoms, ancient Egyptian kingdoms combined God and king. Catholics during the Middle Ages did the same for the Pope, and that Islamic nations never really had a chance to undergo this same transformation from theocratic monarchies to more secular democracies. I didn't have time to read the whole thing. I do want to agree with you, John, that that is true. That I'm not attacking Islam. I want to be clear on that. I think Islam is a long religion with some very good things that it's done in the past. Certainly in the Middle Ages, Islam was civilization where Christians were doing a lot of murdering. For my own religion, I should note that in the Jewish religion, prophets were always attacking the kings. The king really wasn't a dictator. Prophets were always saying there was a higher law. But your basic point is there. I'm not attacking Islam. What I'm attacking is these people that do these horrible things in the name of Islam. I'm sorry I haven't had time to read your other comments. I want to save the last 3 minutes and tell you what's going on with Sybelle Edmonds. Sybelle Edmonds, as you know, from those of you that heard my show, Spies at the FBI, and it's right on my archives at www.radioinsidescoop.com, know that this is a translator who found out about spies at the FBI. Actually, people at the FBI in the translation department looking at the Al-Qaeda documents who tried to recruit her to join a charity that is a front for terrorist groups. Okay, quite a serious charge. He also found all kinds of incompetence and horrible translation in the FBI. So what did she do? She did like any good American would do. She reported it to the authorities. And what happened to her? She was fired. She was fired for telling the truth about some very dangerous things in the FBI. Now, luckily for us, it is still against the law to fire someone for telling the truth to their superiors. Colleen Rowley tried to tell the FBI about Mousawi wanting to fly planes into buildings, you know, wanting to fly, not knowing where they landed. The FBI ignored her, right? But she couldn't be fired because of the whistleblower law. Well, Sybelle Edmonds was fired, but the whistleblower law says she couldn't be. So she brought suit against the FBI. And her suit at the lowest court was just ruled on. U.S. District Judge Reggie B. Walton, who only looked at Ashcroft's evidence, met twice with government lawyers privately without Edmonds' lawyers being there, did not hear any evidence from Edmonds, dismissed the case. Now, he didn't dismiss the case because Sybelle Edmonds didn't have a legal claim. You know, she was clearly a whistleblower, right? He said he dismissed the case because it would expose sensitive secrets, that to continue with the case would expose, quote, intelligent gathering methods and disrupt diplomatic relations with foreign governments. Disrupt diplomatic relations with foreign governments? Is that a reason to dismiss a lawsuit? Hey, if you want to avoid exposing intelligence gathering methods, it's simple. Black it out. Have something in camera, as we lawyers call it. Do it in private so that you don't expose the secrets. But you can still have a trial. But the real explanation seems to be it would embarrass a government. I wonder which government. Well, Sibel Edmonds, I'm proud to say, is coming back to the Inside Scoop. We're working out a day. It'll be next week. She's going to tell us, hopefully, which foreign governments this would have embarrassed. The point is that Ashcroft is hiding it again. And if it's not so important, why is he hiding it? I mean, if her case isn't true, he'd report it, right? We'd show it in a trial. It's precisely because Sibel Edmonds is telling the truth that they're trying to hush up their case. That's my view, at least. And I'm glad to say that she's going to appeal the case. You won't want to miss next week Sibel Edmonds talking about spies at the FBI. And remember, folks, when we attack the Republicans, when we attack the Bush administration, you've got to remember, it's not just a question of them violating basic freedoms. They're also weak on terrorism because they put Saudi interests above American ones. This is Mark Levine signing off. But wait, first I do want to say quickly, tune in tomorrow. You won't want to miss Congressman Chris Bell, going to be on my show talking about an ethics complaint against the most powerful Republican in Congress, Tom DeLay. You won't want to miss it, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, this is Mark Levine signing off.